Blog Talk Radio.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini-episode number 248. We're going to be taking another look at Super Bowl 47. We had taken a look at that also in mini-episode number 247 with Kyle Ross. We've been doing our breakdowns all season long with him, but we have a very special treat for you today. We're going to be getting into the game and talking a little bit with a new friend of ours, someone who is going to be doing some broadcasting with Pro Player Insiders, and that is an entity that I have actually been associated with the last couple of weeks. Myself and Steve Callis of the FDH Lounge doing some playoff analysis broadcasts for them. The person that we have on is a very, very talented individual, very much a rising star in media, and again, somebody who really orbits the NFL at many different levels at this point. Somebody who is involved in many different ways. Of course, again, she has an association with Pro Player Insiders, presently doing a column there. She is also a cheerleader for the Houston Texans in her third year with the squad, and doing cheer chat segments, video blogging about the Texans as well, doing some analysis about them, putting her her background to work. And she is a tremendously talented individual. We are going to be very happy to get her on the program very, very shortly. Hello. Sorry for the technical problems there. Welcome to mini-episode number 248 of the FDH Lounge. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris. We've got a very special guest helping us break down Super Bowl 47, somebody who orbits the NFL at many different levels of the media and the football world. She is a cheerleader in her third year with the Houston Texans, does some cheer chat segments, video blogging, some analysis of the team from there, has branched off to Pro Player Insiders, and you can check out her work at ProPlayerInsiders.com, and going to be doing some broadcasting there, we understand, subsequently, jointly promoted broadcast between Pro Player Insiders and our very close friends at Sportsology. And so, again, it's a pleasure to get to talk football with such a person. We're going to get into her background a little bit and talk about some of her different experiences with the NFL and get into a little bit of analysis of Super Bowl 47. I could only be speaking of the one and only Morgan Dean, commonly known as Mo. So, Mo, welcome to the FDH Lounge. How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderfully. It's so good to be here with y'all today. I've been excited all day for it.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's great to have you on. Let's start by getting into a little bit of your background, some of the things that have brought you to this present moment of covering the NFL as you have. Talk about your origins of getting involved with the Texans and doing the cheerleading. I know that you had a background previously at Texas State University, but what led to you joining the Texans cheer crew and getting as involved as you have been subsequently with the video chats?
I decided to try out for the Texans. I used to back up dance for country artists on tour around the United States and Canada. And I love performing, like to perform in front of a crowd. And of course, being raised in Texas, you know, everybody's football fanatics, whether it's college, whether it's NFL, whatever the case may be. And so I've always been interested in football and I'd always wanted to perform, but I had more of like a hip hop background. And I mean, y'all are all huge football fans. As you know, a lot of cheerleading isn't isn't as hip hop and groovy. And I lived in the Virgin Islands at the time, and I was told, you know, man, you need to go try out for the Texans. They've got more of a kind of a groove style. And so I said, you know, I might as well go out there. And I'll tell you what, like, the crowd, the team, everybody is so insane. We have what we call the bullpen, and we dance for the 2 minute. We dance for the 2 minute warnings in front of those, and then in front of the other sides as well. And the crowd is so supportive. They're, you know, 70,000 strong, and when we go out there every time, you know, they're cheering their heads off, just as loud as they are for the football players. So it's a boost of energy, confidence. It's an adrenaline rush for sure.
Yeah, it's amazing to think about performing in front of that many people, and again, like you said, getting the adrenaline boost that can come with that. I understand that at about this time last year minus a couple of days, you were at the Pro Bowl in Hawaii, and that got a chance to experience that. So, talk about what goes into that, the selection for that, what the week was like. I mean, I think we can imagine in general that the week was pretty great, but what goes into being a Pro Bowl performer.
So Pro Bowl is chosen. So each girl, a little bit different than the football teams. I know, like with the football teams, there might not be any players from a team, or maybe there's multiple players selected from a team. The way that it works for the cheerleaders is there is one female, one individual chosen per team. And the way that's voted on is completely different per team. So the way the Texans do it is actually your team, your peers, vote on who they think should go, so who should represent them, whether it's danceability, whether it's leadership. Each year it's a little bit different on the reason why they vote and who they vote for. And then, of course, our coach has to okay it, and then they send that to the higher offices. So actually, the higher offices do have a say in who goes to Pro Bowl, but to get to go to Pro Bowl is the most amazing experience for a cheerleader. And I was talking, it's almost like our Super Bowl, because when we're out there, you become – so 26 teams have cheerleaders. The remaining do not. So there's only 26 girls out there. And the leaders of the cheerleading team out there, Ron and Maria, John, Lindsay, the people who put this on, the cheerleading part, it's like they bring you as a team. They bring out every emotion. They make you feel, you know, like this isn't the end, like this is just the beginning, and that you have so much to offer. And it's just such a rewarding experience to be out there. I mean, you get to do appearances with Play 60 and with the hospitals out there and with all of the kids. And it's such a cool experience to go out there. Everybody that's out there is huge fans. And it's so cool to go out there and to see people representing your team in Hawaii. I mean, Texans is a newer team. And so you didn't at that time, you know, last year we were getting a name for ourselves and everybody was excited about the Texans. So it was so cool to see people out there with their Texans gear representing the Texans, who traveled all the way to Hawaii, because, I mean, that's a distance in and of itself. And they were just excited to be out there. There's Ohana Day, which is, you know, the family day where everybody comes out. And they get to kind of watch you practice for the pregame show with whoever the star is of the day. And there's block parties on the street. They shut the streets down. I talked to our girl that went this year. Her name is Vanessa, and they did like a trailer food truck where – they had a trailer truck for each of the NFL teams. So there was like one of the girls, they laughed because Arizona Cardinals had sushi. She was like, we don't have sushi in Arizona. But they had different food trucks. And I mean, it's such a cool experience. They do a luau, and they, you know, they roast the pig, and they bring fire throwers out there. And, you know, each of the football players goes out there. Now, for the football players, the difference between the football players and the cheerleaders is that the football players kind of go out there, they stay in a more secluded hotel, and they bring their family and everyone, and they kind of hang out for the week and really get to enjoy Hawaii, from what I've been told. And then the cheerleaders, we literally get up at 4 a.m. every morning, and we go to sleep at like 2 a.m. So because we go out there, and it's like we've never met these girls, and we're having – they usually give us a CD. We learn about 15 to 20 dances before we get there, and then they have to clean them and put them together. And then you find out the band that played for us was Hot Chili Ray. They're who opened with us. I know this year was trained, but you get out there and then they teach you a whole new dance and you don't think about it, but when you're having a click with new girls and learn a new routine and then you're also doing appearances and they've got TV stuff going on and you're doing all these signings and it's definitely a whirlwind of fun and it doesn't even feel like it's a week. It just passes by super quick and it's crazy how close you get with these girls. I'm actually running a half marathon with the Broncos cheerleader in 3 weeks. I've never run a half marathon before. She called me and she's like, I'm going to Austin. She's like, I think you should come run. I said, all right. And the Oakland Raiders cheerleader called and she's like, man, I can't run a half marathon, but I'll come and cheer you on. So all three of us are going to go out there and it's just cool. It's like you've got friends all over the U.S. now. And I went and watched I watched the Raiders girl cheer. We went out to San Fran and met her, and it's been a really cool experience. It's like you got friends all over now.
That is very enlightening, folks. I got to say, the rest of us that haven't been out there for the Pro Bowl are not privy to all the different kinds of events that go into it. That really is an unbelievable spectrum of things that you're participating in over the course of an unbelievable week. And, again, I want to circle back to what you said, that this time last year when you were out there, there was this sense that the Texans were at this moment, that it was sort of a breakthrough last year, the way that the team played, went into the playoffs. A lot of people, myself included, had the sense that had Matt Schaub been healthy, that in my estimation, that they might very well come out of the AFC. I have to say, coming into this season, my pick to win the AFC, I felt vindicated in that a good part of the year. So I hate to go there. We won't touch much on this, but I just want to get some thoughts on you from you on what happened later in the year here. I know Brian Cushing going out week five didn't help, but the defense did kind of stay together a pretty strong a good chunk of the year. It really kind of seemed inexplicable in the month of December. So not to be too downbeat about things or anything like that, but there's just a lot of people that are kind of wondering from a distance, and I got to have a sense that up close you probably have a better idea and you probably hear a lot of theories being discussed.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the thing about it is we had a killer record. I mean, it wasn't, and you know, everybody's so, a lot of people are down on the fact, you know, that we didn't do as well in the end of the season, but that was the best record we've ever had as a franchise. We're a young team, and I think it's one of those things we're still learning. We're still trying to figure things out. They're talking about right now about all the different things that they can do with the free agency and everything for the upcoming year and maybe moving different people around. I've heard them talk about moving Brooks Reed over so that Whitney Merciless can come in and they can keep Connor Barwin. I've heard all different kinds of things that they're talking about, moving different people around and such like that. You know, in the end, they moved. They just were trying people out at different positions. And it's one of those things, like, we've got to just continue learning and continue growing. And I think, you know, bringing Wade Phillips in as our defensive coach, you know, just did numerous amounts of things for our team. Bringing J.J. Watt in, you know, I mean, I couldn't ask for a better team. Everybody, it's like when we brought Yates in, you know, last year, it's like everybody rallied around him. Everybody didn't get down on ourselves. And I know we wanted, you know, to get that AFC title, but it's one of those things you got to keep working. And I think we definitely have the potential to do it next year. So you can't be a fair weather fan. You got to keep on with it. And they're my team through and through.
Well, that's an interesting thought on the youth because, I guess we don't tend to think about it that way as much. When you got somebody like J.J. Watt, I mean, he really does kind of play beyond his years. You forget how young somebody like him is. He must just be a huge presence in town there. I'll bet, J.J. Watt's got to be one of the biggest names in Houston sports right now with the way that he's just burst onto the scene and just had an unbelievable career thus far. He has just been so dominant coming off the edge.
Oh, he's been incredible. And, you know, what's cool about him, so I don't know if y'all hear as much about him and such as what we do here, but so when he got picked, we do a draft day, you know, at Reliant Stadium, and they actually booed him when he got picked. the entire crowd just started booing. And we have we have a group that they're one of our strongest fan groups, the Battle Red Freaks, and Chucky T, one of the guys, you know, he was smiling, and the camera guy came over to him and said, he's like, why are you smiling? He's like, everybody else over here is booing. He's like, that guy is a pizza delivery guy that will change this franchise's way, and he's going to take us to the Super Bowl. And they have it recorded, and actually J.J. found that guy, Chucky T., and was like, I just want to thank you for having confidence in me. And it's so funny. I mean, like, you see the signs going around our stadium. There's pictures of it. Like, the cutouts these people have, and they've got, because they call him, instead of J.J. Watt, they call him J.J. Swat. And they've got these huge mitts that they wear. I mean, like, it is hilarious. Everybody, and J.J.'s got, I mean, he's so humble, like, in the way he does things. We have these three kids out here who basically they got in a car accident with their parents, and both of their parents passed, and the three kids were all paralyzed, and J.J. had just moved down to Houston, and he went over to the hospital, and he talked to him, and he asked for their number, and he said, you know, I don't have any friends in Houston. He's like, I'd like y'all to be my first friend. And he still to this day, you know, 3 years later, goes over and he hangs out with them. He plays basketball with them. One of his actually celebration dances, I don't know if you've ever watched, he does like a, he pretends like he's in a wheelchair. And that's for him to represent for the Barry kids. So he's just so humble. He actually he had a little 5-year-old girl that wanted him to propose to him. She cried her eyes out. I don't know if you saw it on the news. She cried her eyes out. She couldn't marry JJ because she wasn't 25. And he brought her into Reliant Stadium and he proposed to her with a ring pop and gave her a jersey for her wedding dress.
Uh-huh.
So he's got a good heart. And I think that's what's good about the Texans, man. Bob McNair makes sure that everybody stays humble, you know, stays in the right mind. He wants to have a good rep. And that's the one thing about Houston. You don't ever hear bad reps coming from it. And Bob McNair, like, prides himself on that. He likes that about the team. So
that's true. That you do consistently hear good things about the organization. In terms of J.J. Watt, and you mentioned a couple minutes ago about Wade Phillips, what he's done with the defense there. I feel like you would be a good person to comment on this as far as the Super Bowl. Everybody's been commenting, of course, on you know, the macro level story of the Harbaugh brothers. But then when you drill down into it a little bit, the way that they do business, both teams with an aggressive 3-4 defense, much like your Texans have. So from that standpoint, what do you think both offenses are going to have to look forward to facing a defense in some ways? Both of them will be facing a defense similar to what you've been watching all year with the Texans.
Now, one more time, you cut out.
As far as the offenses, how do you think they're going to deal with the challenge of facing a defense? Again, at both offenses, it seems like they're going to be facing a defense that's very similar to what you've got there with the Texans. I think most people would agree San Francisco stronger defensively than Baltimore, but both teams with a lot of elements of what you've got there with Wade Phillips, and both teams running out of the same 3-4 defense. So what's that going to do to the offenses as far as their ability to try to help break that down on Sunday?
I mean, like you said, they both have dynamic offenses. They both have dynamic defenses. I mean, I'll switch to even talking about starting off by talking offense-wise. I mean, Flacco, if Flacco's clicking on all cylinders, he's got two great targets with Torrey Smith and Anquan Boldin. And, of course, you know, Vontae Leach. I got to talk about Vontae Leach, our former Texan, blocking the way. And they can back that up with the powerful running attack, you know, with Ray Rice and Bernard Pierce. And then, you know, on the other end of the spectrum, talking about Kaepernick's he's a dual threat, you know. He's a dual threat quarterback. He's able to run the ball and throw the ball, which makes it incredibly difficult to stop him. And then, you know, he's got the solid receiving core with Crabtree and, of course, Randy Moss. He's got the big playmaking tight end with Vernon Davis and the solid running game with Frank Gore and the Michael James. So your offenses are incredible. And then, like, as you're talking about, you know, J.J. Watt had mentioned at Pro Bowl when they asked him, he's like, you know, what's the game going to consist to? What's the X factor? And, you know, J.J.'s, as he said, you know, it's the defense. Both defenses, I mean, are incredible. You got Ed Reed and Ray Lewis, you know, the front seven. They're going to be looking to limit Kaepernick's ability to run on those first downs, which Kaepernick, I know, is just he surprised everybody. But Ray Lewis, man, he's got that the veteran in him. He's got, you know, the most tackles in this postseason. You know, 17-year veteran, he knows what he's doing. So it's going to be
my question on both sides of the ball, actually, offense and defense. A good job of anticipation there. Then when you get into special teams, there's a name that's familiar to a lot of folks down there. I think Jacoby Jones. He's been one of the big. Big factors for Baltimore there. They certainly have the edge in the kicking game as is right now with Akers' problems, but special teams-wise, Jones is somebody who's been very important to Baltimore as well.
Yeah, and I've been reading articles left and right and listening to different sports talk, and it's interesting how each person has their outlook, you know, the X-factor special teams. You have the X-factor, like you said a second ago, the kicking game. I mean, they've been talking about the kicking game, how it could come down to that in and of itself, just because it was so detrimental in the championships, AFC and NFC, how it came down to that in a lot of the situations. So I think it's going to be one of those games where it's going to come down to the depth chart of the 49ers or the strong veteran leadership with the Ravens, and just kind of see which one reigns through.
Absolutely, and I couldn't agree more with you. You know, from an X's and O's standpoint, you probably have a little bit more familiarity up close between the two teams with the Ravens. Of course, the very high profile game that they had with the Texans this year, I believe that was in prime time, and then of course the AFC playoffs from a year ago. So, what, if anything, did you pick up in those games that seems applicable right now? And obviously, they're on a roll right now. They're a lot better than they were when Houston just throttled them earlier this season. But what were some impressions that you had of them at the time as opposed to what you might think of them now?
I mean, so I know when earlier in the season they had a lot of injuries going on. You know, Terrell Suggs with the Achilles. I know he's back now. He's back in full force, and now with the two-week rest, he's definitely going to be capable of bringing his A game. I know Harbaugh was kind of talking about how they're excited to have him in right now and him back. The thing that they were talking about, you know, which was kind of cool, is, so this is kind of beating off the path of it a little bit, but the brothers, you know, they're trying to keep their lips sealed, like not talk to each other, not. That way nothing's crossed paths. So they're obviously coming in with new playmaking schemes. And I've been reading on the internet like crazy about, you know, different plays that they're going to try and make and bring in, because these brothers know each other so well. So I think that ability right now to switch the schemes up and switch up what they're doing a little bit, like that in and of itself is going to make you a stronger team. It's going to make you stronger. And the fact that you're going to have to come together and learn new abilities, learn new plays, learn new routes. So I think they're a stronger team right now. I know they had a lot of injuries in the beginning. They've got everybody back in full force. So I think they'll do well.
Well, that's a good point, too, when you talk about the scheming and some of the adjustments being made. Because I've been reading as well about Baltimore running the read option in practice with their backup quarterback, that they have the ability to do that and to try to game plan for Upper Kaepernick in at least some ways. So. It looks like a fascinating X's and O's breakdown on Sunday, not to mention all the other stories, which, as you said, you got the Harbaugh brothers, you got Ray Lewis, you got all that. I always go to the whole thing is Super Bowl week. The thing that just cracks me up the most is media day. I don't know how much you saw of what was going on Tuesday. You had some guy in a clown suit that was out there asking questions, and I think some guy in a superhero get up. I mean, it seems like everybody tries to top each other every year on these types of things here. What do you make of something like that? Something where I think we've long since deviated from serious questions being asked and serious answers given to what just seems to be a free-for-all that is condoned by one and all these days.
So I didn't get to see it on Tuesday, I'm not going to lie, but I think it's with any media, any, I'm training for a fitness competition right now. I usually do it in my off seasons before tryouts, and I'll talk to you about that a little bit if you want to, but if we were watching, and I don't know if it was The Voice or American Idol or what it was, we weren't really paying attention, but one of the girls brought in like a puppet to sing, and one of the girls was like, why did she do that? It doesn't even make sense. And I said, because it's what catches people's eye. It's what makes people remember people. And that's all people are trying to do in the media right now. They're trying to get remembered, get recognized. And so maybe that's that aspect they're trying to take, trying to turn it and be like, you know, you hear the same questions all the time. Like, why do you do this? Why do you do that? Do you scheme that? And it's like, yeah, everybody wants to hear that. And everybody wants to hear what your plan is. But you're only going to tell so much because you don't want everybody to know everything. You don't want to give all the goods away. So it's like sometimes you got to make it more interesting. I mean, like in the Pro Bowl, Steve and I were talking about how, you know, she asked everybody, you know, what do you think the Super Bowl score is going to be? Who's going to come out on top? What are your predictions? And it's like sometimes you got to switch it up and be like, hey, JJ, how'd you cut your finger open? You know what I mean? Or like something just to catch people. It's like something to catch people's eyes, something to I all my cheer chat videos that I do for Texans, we started doing basically bloopers at the end. And I think it sparks so much more attention because it shows personality. It shows that spunk. It shows, you know what I mean, that we're not these people who, like, don't have, you know what I mean? Sometimes people always see the perfect person that, you know, like, that is supposed to be displayed as opposed to, like, what the person really is. We did one of the girls, Annie, she's a rookie on the team this year. Her and I did the very last cheer chat, which cheer chat is like a wrap-up of what happened in the game that's either going on right then or maybe happened the night before. And we basically just give like a two-minute synopsis of everything that happened in the game and or just some key points, I guess, that happened in the game. And so at the end, they were trying to clear the bubble out, which is the training field for where the guys practice. And there was a couch in there. And Sean Cody's a Texan player. And he does like a little TV show called On the Nose. And there's a little song that comes on. And he's just real just kind of fun-loving, corny, just trying to make people laugh. And Connor Barwin, who's another player of ours, usually pops his head in, and so does J.J. Watt. And so Annie did she did the song and dance and just was kind of real corny, and I was Connor Barwin. And I have to tell you what, we got more hits for that, and just everybody loved it. And it was just because we were playing around and messing around and laughing and, you know, being ourselves, but it's almost like people don't get to see that, and it's nice to see that people are human, you know? It's we like to have
fun. That's true. That's a good point, and these are the things that really help kind of differentiate. And I guess you know, I was reflecting as you were thinking there. I was taking a look at myself and thinking, you know, it might be kind of odd for me of all people to be throwing down the "get off my lawn, you kids" card, because a couple of years ago, truth be told, Mo, at a Cleveland Browns draft day event, the year that George Kokinas was the alleged general manager, I was up on the podium with a George Kokinas sock puppet. So I guess you know, I'm sort of an odd person to be decrying the lack of sanctity on a media day myself. Everybody needs something to stand out and have a good time, I suppose. Clearly, again, from talking to you here, and you know, everybody's gotten a chance on our program to check out what we were talking about. That you are somebody that never has any problem standing out with everything that you are doing, whether it be the cheer chat, the cheerleading itself, the work with Pro Player Insiders, and the forthcoming broadcasts with them. So you alluded to a second ago here. Please take it away. Anything that we didn't sufficiently cover thus far about you?
About the fitness competition? Are you more talking
Texas? Sure. Anything you want to put out there, Mo, go for it.
So you mentioned Pro Players. So basically what I do for Pro Players is I write articles about different cheerleaders around the league. And the cool thing about that is a lot of people when you think of a cheerleader, you think of kind of like the ditzy blonde girl or whatever the case may be who is cheerleading and is just kind of like she doesn't have it all there, you know. She's just this pretty girl that shakes her pom-poms or whatever. And so what I do is, and it's really helped me out actually going to Pro Bowl, because now that I know a girl from every team, it's been awesome to call and say, you know, hey, I need a rookie, or I need a girl who went on tour, or whatever the case may be. I did one on an Atlanta Falcons cheerleader about a month ago, and she's actually the casting director for Say Yes to the Dress, and she got her MBA, and she worked for Morgan Stanley for a little bit. She passed her boards and was going to be an attorney, changed her mind, you know, and then she went to the Morgan Stanley, changed her mind again, and then did the casting director for Say Yes to the Dress. So I just kind of go around and talk to these different girls to show, you know what I mean, that the stereotype isn't always what you may think it is. And I talked about actually speaking about the Ravens. I did one on the Ravens, and the Ravens are the only team in the NFL that has more of a collegiate feel cheerleading team.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the only team in the league that has male cheerleaders. And so it was really cool to do something like that, because a lot of people don't, when they think of cheerleading, they think jump, stunt, tumble. Well, for the most part, cheerleading in the NFL is more stylized, pirouettes, which are turns, leaps, very, very different type of dances, where the Ravens do a lot more stunts, tumble. They've got the guys throwing them in the air, that kind of stuff. I'm doing an article right now on a Titans cheerleader, and she talks about, they're obviously a younger team, talks about how they do their calendar in Florida, and they take a bus out. And the bus broke down one time on their way out there, and all the entire cheerleading team was stranded on in the middle of a lonely highway, just sitting there waiting for the bus to get ready. But it's just kind of cool insights that a lot of times there's not articles done on cheerleaders and such like that. So it's nothing long, nothing crazy, but if you ever want to check them out, it's www.proplayerinsiders.com. And they're under my name, which is Morgan Moe, and that's M-O-E Dean. But so that's fun. And then the cheer chats have been a blast. We started out doing them my rookie year, and we actually started doing them. It was a girl named Nicole. She was my big sister in the cheerleading organization. And we started doing them before the game. So it was kind of nice to do them before the game, because you know, I got to do all my research on what was going on the other team, how they were preparing, all that kind of stuff. We would do it before the game, which it was still crazy because, you know, I don't know if anybody knows, but we get to the game 5 hours before the game. And we do multiple practices on the field and all kinds of stuff. So literally we would have like 5 minutes to run upstairs, shoot this video, and run back downstairs. And it's funny because people are like, oh, why don't you just retake it again if you mess up? I'm like, eh, don't work like that. So my coach decided, you know, she's like, man, I can't get the videos up until a couple days later. So it's not working because it's like you don't see the video until after the game. So she's like, you need to do them after the game. So we started this year doing them right at the fourth quarter, two-minute warning, right after that. So it usually ends right as the game's ending, and it's been perfect. But the crazy thing is what people don't think about is, so I don't have a producer sitting there telling me, like, this is what happened in the game, you know, this is what you need to talk about or whatever. I'm cheering the whole game, and it's awesome to be on the field, but your back is to the football game when we're on defense. Now, when we're on offense, we are watching, but you're just trying to get the crowd riled up. And for me, being such a huge football fan, like, I go crazy. They've got a picture where I'm jumping up when Justin Forsett, when he was with the team, it was still in preseason, he's running, and he makes a touchdown, and it looks like I'm levitating because I'm literally, like, 4 feet off the ground, and my legs are straight. I was so excited. I'm like, yes! You know, it's a blast, but it's crazy because literally at the last 2 minutes of the game, I'm like, all right, here we go. And I, you know what I mean? Like, I see what's going on, but we're off the field during parts of the game to do appearances. And then you're on the field and then you're dancing. You're trying to worry about the four routines you're doing and all the sidelines and everything. So it gets a little stressful. So sometimes I miss some of the facts, the key facts of what's going on, but it's cool just to kind of, it's an adrenaline rush the same way it is to dance in front of everybody, so I like doing it.
And it ties together different aspects of what you're doing in the same day, both with the media end of it as well as the cheerleading also, which, again, has to be kind of a unique experience in the NFL to blend those in. But good stuff, Mo. We really appreciated having you on the program here. Great to get to talk to you and get your thoughts on the upcoming Super Bowl here. Don't be a stranger. It was good having you on, and I look forward to checking out your broadcasting career as it continues to go forward.
Thank you so much, Rick. I appreciate it, and I look forward to talking with you again soon. Y'all have a wonderful night.
Thank you. You too, Mo. Good to have you on. Now, the great Morgan Dean, everybody. We appreciate having her on FDH Lounge mini episode number 248.